We're doing the book of Yoel. We're up to, it's called the second chapter, the 15th Pasuk. And Yoel had been describing this tremendous army of locusts that will come destroy the land. And Hashem says, please, do tshuva. Tear your hearts, not your clothes. Return to Hashem. And then Hashem will make things better for you. Pasuk Tetvav. Tiku shofar b'tzion, kadeshu tzom, kiru atzara. Hashem says, blow the shofar in Zion. Prepare yourself for a day of gathering, a day of fasting. Call a day where everyone gathers to the temple and focus on doing tshuva. Isfuam, kadeshu kahal. Kivtzu zekeinim. Gather the people, gather the flocks, gather the congregation. Everyone should come and fast before Hashem. Isfu olalim veyoneke shadayim. Gather the babies. Baby is called olel because olel means filthy. Remember, once upon a time they didn't have fresh wipes and Huggies diapers. And then, when I was a kid, they didn't have disposable diapers. And then, in those days, the kid was always dirty. And if you go back to the time of Chazal, where they had like two garments, was a wealthy person. If you had clothing to change, you were considered well off. So figure, what were the kids wearing? Chazal say the kids were constantly wallowing in their own feces. So a child was called an olel. Olel means filthy one. Olel me'ulal ba'afar karno. Olel is the filthy one. So isfu olalim, even gather the kids who are filthy, v'yonekei shadayim, and those that are still nursing. Yeitzei chatan mechedro v'chala mechupata. The chasen will leave his room to gather with the nation. Even though a chasen, ordinarily we don't bother him, we let him be happy with his kala. Chazal say no. The chasen will come out of his room to join the fast, to join the crowds who recognize the imminent danger, and the kala will leave her chupa. Chupa is like a private room they used to have for them. So today our chupa is the room where they actually get married, but in ancient times the chupa was a room that was like the kala's room.
Are we talking about the wedding night here?
So I don't think it means literally the wedding night, but it means even though they have Sheva Brochs, ordinarily we don't disturb them from their happiness. Chazal said, here, it's a time of danger for all of Am Yisrael. This great army of locusts are going to come destroy everything. People are going to literally be eating their own feces, eating the grass and the hay. People were out of food. Chazal described it, where people were holding. So this great danger to all of Am Yisrael, the Navi says, now even the kids have to fast. Isfu olalim v'yonekei shadayim, even the babies, everyone has to join in and recognize the danger. Bein ha'ulam v'lamizbeach, yivku ha'kohanim, mesharetei Adonai. Between the ulam and the mizbeach, even there, the kohanim, ordinarily, they only go there in service. Kohanim don't walk there for nothing. They only go there when they're serving Hashem, and even there, when they're in the service of Hashem, yivku ha'kohanim. The kohanim will weep. They'll recognize that the danger is real, and they have to do tshuva. The service will be put on pause, and instead of standing at that location in the service of Hashem in the avodah, rather they will be standing there weeping. They'll be doing tshuva. Ve'yomeru chusa Adonai al amecha ve'al titein nachalatcha lecherpa limshol ba'am goyim lama yomeru va'amim ayei Eloheim. The Kohanim will say, Hashem, have mercy over us. Don't let us be taken over by the nations, because if there's a famine here, what's going to happen? The Jews will leave for Chutz La'aretz. The halacha says there comes a point where the parnasa is so bad in Israel that a person is permitted to go to Chutz La'aretz for parnasa. The Talmud discusses, how bad does it have to become before you're allowed to leave? But there is a point where you're allowed to leave. So the Kohanim are going to beg Hashem, don't let your territory, the land of Israel, be shamed that Jews will leave and go under the domain of the other nations. Nimshol bam goyim, they'll allow themselves to be ruled by the nations because they'll have no food. Lama yomeru v'amim, why should the nations say, Aye Eloheim, where is their God? Yeah, so the Kohanim beg Hashem, give good parnasa in Israel, don't bring the plague of locusts. Give us parnasa so that Am Yisrael will be able to remain in the land of Israel and the nations won't be deriding us. Vayikane Adonai le'artzo vayachmol al amo. Hashem says, here there are multiple understandings. Vaykane Hashem al artzo. Chazal say that Hashem, so to speak, warned the locust about how they're supposed to treat his nation, that something's supposed to be left. Vayachmol al amo. Hashem has mercy over his nation. There are multiple understandings here as to what it's talking about here. Vaykane Hashem al artzo. One understanding is after they do tshuva, Hashem will accept their prayer, and then Hashem will avenge his land, that it shouldn't be desolate. He will have compassion over his nation. Vaykane Hashem al artzo is le'artzo, is if you do tshuva, then right away there won't even be a famine. Or after there'll be a famine, if you do tshuva, then Hashem will help things work out. Different understandings. That's what Chazal discussed. How did things work out ultimately when they did tshuva? Pasuk Yutet. Vayan Adonai vayomer le'amo hineni sholeach lachem et hadagan ve'atirosh ve'ayitzar usvatem oto velo etein etchem od cherpa bagoyim. Vayan sometimes means answered. That's how the Targum translates here. Ve'ativ Hashem. But Rashi says in Shir Hashirim that the word Vayan in Tanakh always means to raise one's voice. It doesn't have to mean in reply. It just means to raise one's voice. So it could mean Hashem called out and said to his nation, Hineni sholech lachem, behold, I am sending you. Now that you've done tshuva, I will send you blessing in the dagan, your grain, the tirosh, your wine, the yitzar, your oil, usvatem oto, and you will be satiated from it. There are two types of blessings. One blessing is that you have a lot of food, but that doesn't mean people are satiated. Sometimes we have a lot, and people are still hungry. People aren't full, in spite of the fact that there's a lot. And then there's a bracha that Hashem says, I'll make you be satiated. And I won't put you again to shame among the nations. You won't have to live in Chutz La'aretz. You'll be able to make a living in Israel. And the northern one. Who's the northern one? That's the locust that came from the north. I will distance the northern one from you. I will distance the locust from you. They won't come back again. Ve'idachtiv el eretz tzia u'shmama. I will send him out to a desolate territory to die there. El hayam hakadmoni v'sofo el hayam hacharon. I'll send him out to the eastern sea, and the last remnants I'll send out to the distant, so to speak, last sea. Ve'alav asho ve'tal tzachanato ki higdil lasot. And he will die over there, he will rot there. Ve'alav asho, and his smell of his rotting carcass, ve'tal tzachanato, and that stench will go up, ki higdil lasot, because this locust did great harm in the land of Israel. And that's why the locust will be punished to die. Now, Rav Moshe Cordoviro writes, He says it's a special gift Hashem gives Am Yisrael. He discusses the Kabbalistic meanings, but we could discuss the simple meanings, because I don't understand what he says in Kabbalah. He says one of the midot of Hashem is that we say Hashem is v'tashlich b'mtzulot yam kol chatotam. That Hashem sends our, so to speak, covers up our sins and punishes those that punish us. The Mitzrim were already, it was decreed years ago that we would be in servitude under the Mitzrim. And yet in our parsha they all had to sink. Sancheirav was supposed to come and attack Jerusalem, and yet he was destroyed. Every time a nation came upon us, that nation was destroyed. Chazal tell us when the courts would put someone to death, that sword that was used to put someone to death would be buried. Not only the person who died, also the sword. The item that was used to harm is also buried, is also destroyed. So he says, this is a concept that Hashem, so to speak, says, now I'm upset at you, what do you have to do the harm for? And here we see the same thing. The locust, on the one hand, Hashem decreed the locust should come and destroy the land of Israel. But after we've been punished and we do tshuva, Hashem turns back at the locust and says, now I'm not happy with you. We see this concept also, v'eta beima ta'arogu, a person who used an animal for sin, so the animal also dies. We see this concept throughout the Tanakh. So Rav Moshe Cordovero, on the 7th or 8th chapter, on the words of v'tashlich b'mtzulot yam kol chatotam, he goes into the Kabbalistic reasons for all this. But we can see the concept here as well. The Navi continues and says, Al tirei adama, land of Israel, fear not. When the Jewish people do teshuvah, you have nothing to worry about. The locust will not return. Gili usmachi, but rather rejoice, be happy. Kigdil Adonai la'asot, because Hashem has done great things. Al tireu bamot sadai, kidashu neot midbar. Cattle, you the cattle out in the field, don't worry, the grass will grow. The areas, the oases around the desert, the tents around the desert will have plenty of grass. Kidashu, because the deshe, the grass will grow. Neot midbar, the places where you live in the desert. Neot is like nave, zekeli ve'anveyu, we have in our parasha. Nave means a home. The place where people have homes in the desert, where they have the tents in the desert, there will be grass there. That was the place they took the cattle out to graze. They take them out to the deserts where they'd have oases and they'd have fertile crops growing there. So those crops, dasheu, will be filled with deshe, they'll be filled with grass. Ki eitz nasafilyo, for the tree will also bear its fruit. Teina vagefin natinu cheilam, the fig tree, the grapevine, they too will give forth their strength. Not only the grass, the trees too will give their fruit. The land will flourish. Uvnei Tzion, gilu v'simcho b'Adonai Eloheichem, ki natan lachem et hamoreh litzdaka. And you, the sons of Zion, you rejoice, be happy with Hashem your God. Now that you have done tshuva, he can be called your God again. Be happy with Hashem's decree, for Hashem has given you the first rains. Hamoreh litzdaka, he will give you the rain with righteousness, not only as much as you deserve, but even beyond what you deserve. That's the simple understanding of the pasuk. Chazal tell us, ki natan lachem et hamoreh, he gave you the teacher, he gave you the prophets who are teaching you litzdaka, so that you will be righteous people. Bnei Tzion, you sons of Zion, you're not like the animals. The animals are happy over the food. You be happy over the cause for the food. Why did you get the food? Because you fixed your ways. So you, sons of Zion, you be happy with Hashem, your God. Ki natan lachem et amore, for He gave you the teacher, the guide. He gave you the Nevi'im, litzdakah, to teach you how to be righteous. And then the products of that, vayored lachem geshem more umalkosh barishon. And then this pasuk describes how the people were saved from complete desolation. That in the first month, in the month of Nisan, Barishon, in the month of Nisan, Hashem gave them the first rain, the second rain, Geshem, Moreh, Umalkosh. All the different rains that they should have had all year, they all came pouring down in Nisan. The Navi told them, go out and plant. They went and planted. They planted and it rained. And what usually takes months, half a year to produce, was produced in a few days. The Gemara goes into exactly how many days it took till the crops, the Gemara even says, Hazore'im bedima, those who planted with tears, berinayich tzoru, harvested with joy. Haloch yelechu vacho, as they were going down planting the fields, they were crying. They said to the prophet, we have a few kernels of wheat left. What are we going to do plant them for? It's Nisan, there's been no rain. The Navi said, no, plant them. They said, but if we grind them, if we make flour, we'll have bread. The Navi said, no, take those last few kernels that you have and plant. Hazore'im medima, they listened to the Navi, but they were planting with tears. Berinayich tzoru, they harvested with joy. Haloch yelechu vacho, as they went down that field plowing and throwing in the seeds, they were weeping. Nosei Meshech Hazara, as he was going planting, bo yavo, on their return trip, when they were already coming back with the ox, berina, they could rejoice, they could see the sprouts coming up. Hashem gave them unusual blessing in this planting. Just as there was unusual destruction before this, they did tshuva, as the Navi describes, and then Hashem gave them a great redemption, that on the first month, the month of Nisan, when usually there's almost no rain, Hashem gave them Geshem, Moreu, Malkosh, all the different types of rains, so that the food grew. Umaleu agiranot bar, and the silos, the granaries were filled with fruits, with produce. Veshiku haikavim tirosh veitzar, and the yekavim, the presses, the place where they press the olives and the grapes into oil and wine, they are going to give off noise as the tirosh and yitzar, the wine and the oil will flow out of them. So there's going to be a lot of noise as like torrents of wine and oil are spilling out of these presses. Vishilamti lachem et hashanim. Hashem says, and I'll pay you back for the years. Asher achal ha'arbe hayelik vechasil vehagazan. I will pay you back the years that the four different types of locusts consumed from you. Chili hagadol asher shilachti bachem, my great army that I sent against you, I'll pay you back for their destruction. Vachaltem achol v'savoa v'hilaltem et shem Adonai Eloichem asher asah imachem leafli, and you will eat. And you will be satiated. You will lack nothing. You'll have enough bread for everyone. And you'll eat the way satiated people eat. In the time of the famine, you didn't allow yourself to eat till you were full. You'd eat just enough to stay alive because you knew you had to ration your bread to make sure you'd have food tomorrow. But now Hashem says, "V'achaltem achol v'savoa," you'll be able to eat till you're satiated. "V'hilaltem," and then you'll praise Hashem, asher the name of Hashem, asher asai machem leafli, He did a tremendous thing with you, pele, something wondrous, that suddenly you have so much food. Velo yevoshu ami leolam, and my nation will no longer be shamed they won't have to go to the other nations to live among the nations for lack of food in the land of Israel. The question is, what does it mean le'olam? Vidatem ki v'kerev Yisrael ani v'ani Adonai Eloichem ve'ein od ve'lo yevoshu ami le'olam. And you will know that I am among you, I am among the people of Israel, I watch over you, ve'ein od. There's no other force that can hold me back from helping you or punishing you. Ve'lo yevoshu, and therefore you will never again be shamed, because you'll know that whatever happens to you, I've declared it to be so. After you see that, on the one hand, I'm forewarning you, and then the locusts come and destroy. And then I'm telling you, do tshuva, and you'll have great blessing. And you will do tshuva, and you will have great blessing. You'll see that I'm running the show, and then you'll never again have cause for shame. Ve'aya achreichen, eshpoch et ruchi al kol basar, ve'nibe'u b'neichem uv'notechem. What's going on here? Vaya achrechen, after this, I will pour my spirit over you, and your children, your sons and daughters will be prophets. So, did that happen? So Chazal tell us, this is talking about at the end of time. The Navi is going over to discuss the time of Mashiach. What we just read up to, what's called the third chapter, is one haftarah. And then Vayachechen is really a separate parasha. Vayachechen, after all of this, and after you endure everything you have to endure, so then the Navi tells us at the end of time, things will be reversed. Throughout all your years in exile, you lacked prophets. And then there'll come a time where everyone will be prophets. Your sons, your daughters. Ziknechem chalomot yachlomun. Your elders will have dreams, prophetic dreams. Bachurechem chizyonot yiru. And your lads, your youth, will also see visions of prophecy. V'gam al avadim ve'al hashifachot, and also on the servants, the male servants, the female servants. Bayamim ha'ima eshpoch et ruchi. In those days I will pour my spirit, the spirit of wisdom, of prophecy, I will pour over them as well. V'natatim ofetim bashamayim uva'aretz. And I will make great signs in the heaven and in the earth. Dam va'esh v'timirot ashan. You will see much blood spilled on the earth. There will be fire coming down from heaven, and there will be clouds of smoke. You'll see timirot. Timirot comes from the word tomer, like a palm tree that grows to its height. The palm tree only grows upward. It extends its branches one year, and then next year those branches fall, and it keeps growing up, straight up. So Timirot Ashan is like a tamar, like a palm tree. You'll see clouds of smoke, pillars of smoke. So in Hebrew we don't say pillars of smoke, but rather we say palm trees of smoke. Timirot Ashan. So I will make great signs. There will be a great war, the war of Gog u'Magog. Gog u'Magog is the gematria. 70 nations will come upon Israel. They'll all attack. And there'll be that great war, and then there'll be a lot of blood spilt. That's the dam that will be seen flowing on the streets, va'esh, and great fire. And that we have on tradition is going to come from heaven, that Hashem will pour down His wrath from heaven. Fire will come down on the nations that gather to destroy Jerusalem. V'timirot ashan, and there'll be clouds of smoke. Hashemesh ye'afech lechoshech. The sun will turn dark. Things are going to be so bad, you're going to think there is no sun. The sun won't shine on you. There will be a sun, but you don't feel it. You won't feel it. And the moon, that usually, the moon represents purity. The moon represents beauty. The moon won't give its light like it usually does. Rather, the moon will be blood. Ordinarily, the moon, we say, is white light. Whenever you're in Tanakh, we speak about the moon usually represents the Jewish people, and the moon represents the beauty, the purity. Here the Navi says, no, the moon will turn to blood. Lifnei bo yom Adonai hagadol ve'hanora. All of this is before the great redemption. Just before the great redemption, before God's day, that great day, that awesome day, just beforehand, all of this is going to happen. Ve'aya kol asher yikra b'shem Adonai yimaleit. The Navi says, whoever calls on Hashem's name, they will escape. There'll be a time where terrible things happen in the world. And the only ones that will escape is those who call, who pray in the name of Hashem. Ki ve'al tzion uv'yerushalayim tiyef v'leita kasher amar Adonai uv'asiridim asher Adonai koreh. Because Hashem says, on the mountain of Zion is where people will escape. Hashem promised that they will escape. So, on the mountain of Zion in Yerushalayim, there will be escape. And not everyone will escape. Only those that remain. Uvasiridim, the remnants, Asher Hashem kore, the remnants that call out to Hashem, who rely on Hashem, they're the only ones that are going to make it out. So what's he talking about? We don't know. Time will tell. There are all kinds of midrashim. We don't know what he means. Ki hine bayamim ha'ima uva'et ahi asher ashiv et shevut Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. Because in those times, when I will bring the Jews back to the land of Israel, they'll come back from the exile. And he doesn't mention the other tribes. Who's coming back? Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. So one understanding is, because he's not talking about them. He's talking about the Yehuda and Yerushalayim. He's not talking about the other tribes. And according to that understanding, really all tribes are coming back. But there's a discussion in Chazal. What happened to the other 10 tribes? We know that among Am Yisrael, we have all 12 tribes. But the majority of the lost 10 tribes, are they ever coming back or not? It's a good question. It's a machlokes in Chazal, in Tanoim. Just one second. V'kibatzti et kol agoyim v'horatim elei mekihoshafat. Hashem says, I'll gather all the nations and I'll bring them back down to Emek Yoshafat, to the valley of Yoshafat. One understanding is that's the name of a place where all the nations will gather and attack on Jerusalem, and then they'll fall over there. And another understanding is that it doesn't really mean a name of a place, but rather Yehoshaphat. God will bring them to justice. Menishpatti imam sham. And there I will argue it out with them, what they've done to my nation, how many pogroms, how many Jews have been murdered. There I will take them to task for all that they've done. Al ami v'nachlati Yisrael asher pizru v'agoyim. Over my nation that they've murdered, over my inheritance, the land of Israel, the people of Israel that they've scattered among the nations, ve'et ha'otzi chileku. They divided my land of Israel. Ve'et ha'otzi chileku. Because they've divided it, Hashem says, that's a point in and of itself. Meaning we think, you know, they destroyed us. The fact that they took the land of Israel, big deal, that's a different point. No, each one is its own din. When the Jews were exiled from Gush Katif, so I started running after rabbis and politicians, and I said, one second, the Jews have been exiled, but the land hasn't been given over yet. And they all said to me, it's over. What do you mean? The Jews aren't there. I said, it's not over. There are two things that have to happen here. One is the exile of the Jews, and two is the giving away of the land. They're two separate tragedies. Tragedy number one happened. They exiled the Jews, but there were weeks before they gave away the land. And then I was chasing after people. I said, what do you mean? It's not over yet. And everyone said, no, it's over. It's over. Now it's not going to change. Two separate things. The Navi tells us. The nations will be judged for two different things. They're two separate destructions. Hashem says, I have to comfort Israel over their loss and the land over its loss. Hashem has a special connection with Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael under Jewish sovereignty is one blessing. The Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael is a separate blessing. The Jews' exile from Gush Katif was tragedy number one. The land of Gush Katif being given over to non-Jews is tragedy number two. Two different tragedies. They happen together, but they're two tragedies. They're not one. Yes, sir.
I was wondering, when it says that the ten tribes get lost, I mean, it's not like did it happen that just ten tribes, or it's just a bunch of people. And I think it would be my guess that just a bunch of Klal Yisrael got lost. It doesn't really mean specific. I mean, and just whoever stayed adapted the name Yehuda.
Well, next Thursday night, if you want, we'll discuss the history. It's too long for 1 minute. Yes, sir. If you want, it's online too.
I agree with you about the Gush Katif. Isn't also giving away Jordan part of that category too?
Good question. I don't know.
Second of all,
you mean Sinai. You didn't mean Jordan. You mean Sinai. Huh? You meant the Sinai Peninsula. Who gave away? You're talking about in the time of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. You're talking back then.
No, I'm
the British. Okay.
Also, is it possible that... You say there's still 12 tribes among us, right?
Yeah.
Is it possible that they all